First Timothy chapter number 1 in our Bibles. I'm going to have you turn to two other portions of Scripture. I'll direct you once we read First Timothy chapter 1. They're real close by. It won't be hard to find at all. First Timothy chapter number 1. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1. First Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 1. If you're able to, if you'll stand with me for the reading of the Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith. Notice these next three words here, four words, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. 2 Timothy, if you'll go there. One book over, 2 Timothy. Well, again, I read the salutation. We'll begin chapter 1, verse number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. One more book over, Titus chapter number 1. Titus chapter number 1. We'll begin in verse number 1, Titus chapter 1 and verse number 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for these three precious, precious promises, precious attributes, dear God, that we're going to take a look at this morning. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help me to keep the attention of everyone, and that the young people would especially sit up straight and tall and really listen. Dear God, I know if they'll listen with their physical ears, Lord, you'll speak to them directly. They'll hear things with their spiritual ears, Lord. So I pray, dear God, we take all of the cares. We all have them, the cares of this life, and we'll just kind of push them outside of the four walls of this building, dear Lord, for the next few minutes. Lord, we'll let yesterday be yesterday and tomorrow be tomorrow, and Lord, we will let today be today. And Lord, may we focus fully on what you want to teach us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I think this is one of the most wonderful trios in all of the Bible. Think about this. Grace, mercy, and peace. In each instance, we're told where we can get these things. 1 Timothy 1, 2, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. And then the second place in 2 Timothy, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. And then Titus chapter 1, verse 4, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that last phrase, our Savior, our Savior. When you make Jesus Christ your Savior, and then you're willing to make him also your Lord, then God the Father, by the way, be willing to let God be your Father. Isn't that interesting? All three times. God our Father, Jesus Christ our Lord, and Christ Jesus our Lord. Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. Boy, there's a formula there, folks. If you'll let God be your Father, well, how do I get God to be my Father? We're going to talk about that. But it's through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus Christ, our Savior. If you let the Lord Jesus Christ save you, and then not only that, you'll let him become Lord of your life, and then you'll approach God with a new relationship, and you can say to him, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hey, folks, there's no better life than being saved. And you know what you get if you're saved? You know what's available to you? This we're going to preach on this morning. Grace, mercy, and peace. Grace, mercy, and peace. Listen, I couldn't help but notice that all three times that this is found, it's written to a young preacher. Maybe God just knew that preachers needed more grace and more mercy and more peace than the average person, but this isn't a message to preachers. This is a message to God's people tonight. Grace, mercy, and peace. Well, let's define these three things first of all, okay? Grace is God giving us what we do not deserve. All right, are you with me? Are you thinking? Grace is God giving us what we do not deserve. Mercy is God not giving us what we do deserve. And by the way, peace comes into our lives when we accept and appreciate God's grace and mercy. Natural byproduct of grace and mercy is peace. Now, I want to illustrate it so these guys can understand, so all of us can understand it better. You know, preacher, what is this matter of grace? God giving us what we do not deserve. Mercy, God not giving us what we do deserve. And then all of a sudden, that peace that floods our soul when we realize that God is serious about grace and serious about mercy. And he has great grace and great mercy, and he wants to pour it out upon us. Well, I thought, how in the world do I illustrate this? And I thought, well, I'm just going to make up a story, although I'm sorry to say this may be a made-up story, but it's true in a lot of people's lives. I got to thinking, what if a young man just grew up the hard way? And by the way, we got a lot of young men and young ladies growing up in homes, folks. Listen, you that have Christian moms and dads that love you and take care of you and get you in church and work hard to put a roof over your head and you know, really care about you and do these things to be a blessing to you, you ought to be thankful if you have those kind of parents. Because I'm telling you, not everybody gets to be raised that way. So all of a sudden, I want you to imagine there's a boy and he's raised up the hard way. He's born into a family where his mom and dad really don't care about him. They really don't love him. Matter of fact, they say things to him from time to time like, we wish you were never born, or you're gonna amount to nothing. You know, we hate you. You're a bother. And this kid grows up feeling like he's nothing in life. And finally, I mean, mom and dad is given over to drugs. They're given over to alcohol. He's half raising himself. There's times when he doesn't even have food in the house and he has to go out and try to make his own way. And finally, one day he comes home, home if you want to call it a home. And guess what? They're not there. Their stuff's not there. They just packed up and left. And you know what? All of a sudden, this boy is at this time full of bitterness, full of anger. He looks around. He sees other kids that are in homes where mom and dad loves them, and he gets mean and he gets bitter. And by the way, he's hungry and he doesn't have any way to provide for himself. And he's living on the street and he's trying to get by the best he can. And so how can I get by? Well, you know what? The life has been mean to me. I'm going to be mean to everyone else. And next thing you know, he just starts taking advantage of every situation he can. He cons people out of things. He lies to people. He looks for the doors that somebody forgets to lock and the garage that's left ajar. He steals things and sells them on the street. And you know, he gets meaner and more vicious in his criminal life. Maybe he joins a gang because, you know what, at least they're somewhat of a family. Somebody that'll kind of help take care of me. And he gets involved in this criminal activity and that criminal activity. And he ends up getting arrested a few times and slapped on the wrist, and he's a juvenile, so they push him back out into society and they try to put him in a foster home and he runs away. And down in his heart, all he can think of is, nobody cares for me. I have to just do what I have to do. This isn't fair. Life's not fair. If God's real, you know what? He's not real for me, and he's not good to me. And, you know, he just continues down this life. And hatred builds up. Bitterness builds up. And he gets more angry and more violent. And they're comes a day where he commits a horrible crime and kills several people in a fight. And next thing you know, he's arrested. And now all of a sudden, you're in a state that has the death penalty. And you know what? No longer is he a juvenile. Now he's turned 18 and 19 years of age, and he's an adult. And there's real life consequences to his actions. And he stands before a judge. And you know what? They've got the defender on this side. They've got the prosecutor on this side. The prosecutor's there to try to get the jury to bring back a guilty plea. The defense lawyer's there to try to defend him. And so he tells all about the way he was raised and all the terrible things he's had to face in life. But The problem is the facts are the facts, and the victims are still dead. And all of a sudden, the jury comes back after the cases are closed, and they hand the decision, the verdict, to the judge, and he reads the word guilty and guilty and guilty and guilty and guilty on all charges. And the sentence is given that he has to die. He has to go to the electric chair. And all of a sudden, once the court is all done and the verdict's been given, before he's dismissed out of the courtroom, the judge brings, says, I want you to come up here with your lawyer and I want to talk to you. And he says, son, do you realize the seriousness of what you did? Yes, sir. Do you realize the punishment that's ahead for you? Yes, sir, I do. Is there a sorrowfulness in your heart? I mean, if you could go back and undo it, do you wish you could undo it? Yes, sir, I do. I do. But I can't. No, you can't, son. That crime has to be paid for. I want you to meet somebody. And all of a sudden, the back door of the courtroom opens, and this really sharp young man, well-dressed, got his act together. By the way, he's already enrolled in college. He got scholarships. He made straight A's. He's on a track for a great life, a great future. You know what? He lives in a nice home. He does have parents that care about him. And this young man comes to the front. He said, I want you to meet this young man. He said, take the handcuffs off him, and I want you to put the handcuffs on this young man right here. Now, this young man has decided that he's going to go to the electric chair for you. We're going to take every bad thing that you've ever did, everything that's on your record, and we're going to take his record, and we're going to take the clean slate that he has as far as no accusations at all, and that's going to become your record. And the boy is just sitting there as they're taking the handcuffs off. His mind's whirling. He's trying to comprehend this. He thinks, this is a joke. This is a cruel joke. He's going to dangle this in front of me, and then he's going to take it away from me. But he doesn't. He doesn't. And the last thing the judge says before he sends him out is, by the way, I didn't really properly introduce you to this young man. This young man is my son. And you know what? I'm going to have you, instead of go back into the foster system, I'm going to have you come to my house. And I'm going to let you move into his room. And all of the things that he has is going to be available to you. And you know what? You're going to be in a place where you're loved. You're going to be in a place where you're cared for. But I want you to remember this. You only have this opportunity because of what somebody else was willing to do for you. And every day of your life, I want you to at least think about him, because he's my son. I want you to think about what he was willing to do for you, because, by the way, he's my son. And you know what? Everything that I'm going to allow you to have, I mean, his bank account's going to become your bank account. His car is going to become your car. His clothes are going to become your clothes. His opportunities is going to become your opportunities. And he is going to go on death row and eventually to an electric chair. He's doing this because he loves you, and because I love you. And I don't know how that young man would feel, but I sat in my office and tried to think, if I was that young man, I think I would just be looking at this judge like, wait a minute, but you don't even know me. And this man, your son, he doesn't even know me. Oh, no, we know you. Yeah, but you don't know the terrible things I've done. And why would he be willing to do that for me? Young people, listen to me. Because of grace, because of mercy, and because God is offering you peace. You imagine that kid the first few days as he goes there and he's thinking, okay, this isn't real. Surely I'm going to walk down to the dinner table and there's going to be no dinner on the table, and he's going to say, sit down and say, I've changed my mind. I mean, surely there's going to be a time when he says, you know what? Those clothes you're wearing, that's not your clothes. Give me the keys back to the car. But you know what? He never does. From that day forward, he loves that young man like it was his own son. He showers blessings upon. You say, preacher, why? Why would anyone do that? Grace. Come on now. Mercy and peace. I think after maybe several months, come on, this young man's been disappointed and lied to by everybody in his life, and I think it takes him a while. But I think all of a sudden, after several months, the peace of God begins to descend upon him when he realizes, this is real. This is real. This judge loves me. This judge cares for me. This judge was willing to send his son to die for me. And you know what? I think he begins to enjoy all the benefits of what was done for him. But also, come on, folks, how could there be a day go by in his life where he does not think about that other young man that came forward and said, put the handcuffs on me? And you know what? I think if I was him, I'd say to myself, I'm done stealing. Come on now, I'm done lying. I'm done thieving from people. I'm done conning people. I mean, I've been given this kind of opportunity, this kind of grace, this kind of mercy. Think about it. What is grace? Grace is God not giving us what we, grace is God giving us what we do not deserve. Now, what did that young man get that he didn't deserve? You know what he got? He got a pardon. Think about that. He got a clean record given to him. He didn't deserve that. He got to walk out of the courthouse free. Come on, he got to go live in a beautiful mansion. He got to wear new clothes. He got to drive a car that they say is his now. He gets to go to college. He gets an opportunity. He gets a fresh start. He gets a new start. He has been forgiven. Wait a minute, that's grace. Mercy is God not giving us what we do deserve. What mercy was shown to him? He didn't have to go to jail. He didn't have to sit on death row. He didn't have to die in an electric chair. Listen, folks, every single one of us can find ourselves in that story, if we will, today. Because God has extended to every one of us his grace. What did God give us that we do not deserve? I mentioned this in Sunday school some point. I can't remember. I think it's Sunday school assembly. But you know what? He's given us an amazing planet to live on. You know, I love fall and I love driving around. And I love thinking about it. But folks, listen to me. As beautiful as it is, this world is still under the sin curse. And I can't help but think about paradise and what it must have been when God first made the earth, you know, before sin affected it. Come on, and the briars and the thistles came before the flood had to rework the surface of the earth. I just wonder what it was like. And one of these days, God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth, and we're going to get to discover what it was like. But folks, this is still an amazing thing that God's created for us, an amazing planet to live on. He gave Adam and Eve paradise, and you know what? He told them, there's only one rule. There's only one rule. Don't touch the fruit of that one tree. You know what? They did exactly what God told them not to do, folks, and sin entered into the world. Now, look right up here. Let's not start picking up stones to throw at Adam and Eve. Every single one of us have been given choices and have made choices. And the honest truth is, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. But you know what? When they did sin, God came down and he looked for them and he called their name. And then the Bible says that he brought them the skins to replace and to cover their shame, replaced their attempts of covering their shame. And he made them coats out of these skins. By the way, that was from the animals. Blood had to be shed. Blood had to be shed. It was just a picture of the day that he would send Jesus Christ on the cross to die for the sins of all of us. And you know what he said? Watch this. What does grace give us that we do not deserve? A second chance. A second chance. We've all sinned. None of us deserve heaven. But how about this? God says in Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I just began to write down, what is grace provided for me? What is grace provided for all of us? What did God give us that we do not deserve? This amazing planet to live on. A second chance as sinners. His only begotten son. How about this? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He said, preacher, that was a made up story. And this man was willing to give his son. Let me tell you, a story that's not made up. God did the same thing for me, and God did the same thing for you, because we all stood guilty in his courtroom, guilty of sin. And the Bible says if we transgress even one part of the law, we're guilty of it all. And you know what? The sentence was death, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Wait a minute, there's still a phrase after that. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus came and we received his only begotten son. I want to make sure that you guys understand, when Jesus died on the cross, he was dying for your sins. He was dying for every wrong thing you would ever do. When Jesus died on the cross, he was dying for you girls' sins. He was dying for Jerry Ross's sins. All of the sins of all the world, everybody that's ever had to live, everybody that was living, everybody that would ever live in the future was all put on Jesus. And you know what? He paid it all, died for the sins of all mankind. Say, why did you do that? Grace. Grace. Boy, aren't you glad we got a gracious God? An amazing planet to live on, a second chance, his only begotten son, the gift of eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And you know what? God just reaches down now because of what Jesus is willing to do. And he just has gift wrapped eternal life. And he's holding it out to the world. Folks, listen, somebody can pay for a present, and somebody can buy you a present, and somebody can wrap up that present, and somebody can offer you that present, but it doesn't become yours until you receive it yourself. And you know what? Listen to me. Grace says, take it. Grace says, it's paid for. Grace said, I gave my only begotten son. Forgiveness is available. How about Colossians chapter 1? Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Listen, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Grace provided that. Grace provided an amazing planet to live on. Grace provided a second chance for every single one of us. Grace sent his only begotten son. Grace provided us the gift of eternal life. Grace offers you and me forgiveness today. If we confess our sins, think about this. I got excited about that this week. And I know I've quoted this thing, verse 1,000 times, and I know you have heard it 1,000 times, but listen to it one more time. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. Faithful and just. He says, I'll put my faithfulness on the line. I'll put my justness on the line. If I don't do what I say at the end of this verse, I am no longer faithful. I am no longer just. And I want you to hear that, because you know what? A lot of times we go to God and we confess it and we wonder, did he really forgive it? Did he really forgive it? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Folks, aren't you glad about that? Say, why is forgiveness available? Because of grace. The opportunity to call him Father. You know, the disciples heard Jesus pray. And then they asked this, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And you know what Jesus started with? Think about this. When you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven. I don't have a right to call God my Father, not in my sinfulness, but you know what? Because of grace, because of what Jesus did. Now I can go to the creator of the universe and I can call him my Father. Amen. Think about what grace is given. The opportunity to call God, Jehovah God, my Father, an open invitation to his throne. Anytime I need to come, the throne of grace, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I wrote this down, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Listen, folks, all of these things, I'm gifted by God because of grace. I want to go on record to say this. I don't deserve any of these things I'm talking about. None of us deserve any of these things that I'm listing today. Why are they offered to us? Because of God's grace. His grace. Man alive, if I'm that young man, I'll tell you what. I know he probably can't be perfect, and I'm sure he wasn't perfect. But I guarantee you, if If he experienced that, I think he would show up. I think he'd make his bed. I think he'd pick his clothes off the floor. I think he'd be careful about what came out of his mouth. I think he'd say, yes, sir. I think every day before he went to bed, he'd go find that judge and he'd say, thank you, sir. I didn't deserve this. Thank you for your graciousness. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for this new life. Thank you for this new opportunity. Folks, listen to me. May we never stop being thankful for the grace of Almighty God. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he that establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. The promise of his son's return, the promise of a place called heaven. Think about John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Preacher, why do we get to look forward to that blessed hope, to Jesus Christ coming back someday? Because of the grace of God. Why do we get to look forward to, listen, I'm praying for Brother Steve. I pray God pulls him out of this. I stood by his bed and we're told to ask, bring our request to God. And you know, I put my hands on that dear brother. I can't look back into that spot without seeing him sitting there. He's fighting for his life right now. But I'm going to tell you this, folks. You say, preacher, is he going to be healed? Yes. Is he going to be healed? Yes. Is he going to be healed? Yes. I'm praying that God lifts him off that sick bed and gives us a few more years with him. Amen. But I promise you this, one way or another, listen, folks, there is a place called heaven. And it's available and waiting for us. And Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. He talks about those mansions. Come on, I can't wait to get to heaven. I think we're going to get to heaven, walk up and down the streets and think, why did we fight so hard to stay on earth as long as we did? Look at this. Look at this. Look what we're going to get to enjoy. You say, preacher, why are you going to get to heaven? Why do you get to go to heaven? We better get this. Is it because you deserve it? No. No. I don't. It's because of grace. Grace is God giving us, think about this, God giving us what we do not deserve. Well, what about this thing called mercy, preacher? What is that? Well, that is talking about mercy is God not giving us what we do deserve. And we talked about this young man a minute ago, and all of a sudden he got some things he didn't deserve, but young man, he also did not have to get some things he did deserve. All of a sudden those handcuffs are gone. He deserved to wear them. All of a sudden that orange suit is gone. He deserved to wear them. All of a sudden that cell on death row that was waiting, he didn't have to worry about it anymore. You know what? He had to worry about dying in an electric chair. Folks, listen to me. I just begin to write down some things. You know what? What is it that mercy brought to me? What did God not give Jerry Ross that he deserved? I started writing down words like judgment. Come on now. I wrote the word death. For the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. I wrote down the word hell. I wrote down the word, the little phrase, lake of fire. I wrote down this eternal separation from God. Folks, you know what? Grace has given me so many things that I don't deserve, but mercy has come in and taken away some things that I did deserve. Come on, when I read Luke chapter 16, I can't help but think that what that rich man was suffering in hell, you know what? I deserve that also. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Listen, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Folks, listen, that's a horrible thing. That's a terrible thing. But can I say this? That's what Jerry Ross deserved. Say, why aren't you going to get it? Mercy! Mercy! I can't help but go from time to time to Revelation chapter 20. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. Think about this. The dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. I want you to understand this, folks. Whew. I know life's hard sometimes. And I know not every day is a great day. But I can't help to remind each and every one of us. Every day this side of hell. Every day that you live that you're not in hell. Every day that mercy has stepped in and taken all of that away from you is a good day. It's a good day. It's a good day. Come on now. I mean, I read what I just read there and I think to myself, yeah, I should have died and gone to hell and begged for a drop of water until the great white throne judgment where death and hell deliver up the dead that are in them. Come on, dead in trespasses and sin. And I deserve to stand there trembling before that white throne. I deserve to stand there waiting for my name to be called. I deserve to stand before God guilty and the books of my life open and it read out loud all the sinful things I've ever done. And then finally, I deserve, think about that moment where they check the book of life and the angel looks through it and the God the Father said, is his name written in the book of life? And the answer is a clear, concise no. And I deserve to hear that. I deserve to hear God say, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. I never knew. That's what I deserve. Say, preacher, why aren't you going to have to face that? Mercy. Mercy. Think about this. Mercy is God taking all of the things that we deserve and saying, you're not going to have to worry about that because Jesus took care of it. And not only that, grace steps in and says, you know what? Watch this. Everything that you could never deserve, I'm going to shower upon you. And folks, where does peace come in then? My goodness. Peace is the byproduct of receiving Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Folks, listen to me. I lived a part of my life in fear of judgment, in fear of death, in fear of what would wait for me if I died. I can remember laying awake at night staring at the ceiling thinking if I died right now, what would happen to me? And wondering. But you know what? You don't have to wonder. Listen to 1 John chapter 5. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us. Eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. These things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Listen to this. That ye may know that ye have eternal life. And that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. This is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Say, preacher, what's the difference between someone who is not going to receive the grace of God and be withheld from the mercy of God? Listen, it all wraps up in one thing, and that is, what have you done with Jesus? What do you believe about Jesus? Have you ever received Jesus as your personal Savior? Listen, Jesus Christ is God's precious Son, and he's the one that walked down the aisle in that courtroom and said, go ahead and take all of his crimes and put them on my clear record, and take my clear record and put it on his record. By the way, put the handcuffs on me, and by the way, bind me and whip me. Come on, and put the cat of nine tails on my back, and put the crown of thorns on my head, and spit in my face and buffet me. And then after you've blooded me beyond recognition, make me walk up that hill and nail me to that cross. And you know what? I'll do it because I want to die for the ones that I love. And I'll spend the rest of my life not understanding the love of God. Folks, listen to me. All of a sudden you think, is this real? Is this for me? And the devil's saying, no, that's not for you. You're too bad. Well, that thief was pretty bad too. And yet on the cross, Jesus looked at him and said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Mary Magdalene was possessed by seven devils. And yet she became one of the sweetest, closest disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Come now, let us reason together. Folks, listen to me. Getting saved is not only the wise thing to do, it's the reasonable thing to do, the logical thing to do. I can sit here and wrap myself in my own supposed self-righteousness and think I'm going to stand before God and be judged by my works and get into heaven. And that's what the great white throne's all about. Or I could realize that I'm a sinner. And you know what? I don't deserve any of this. I don't deserve the grace of God. I don't deserve the mercy of God. And I'll spend eternity trying to figure out why God did it. But I've got good news for you. He did send his son. And he did die for you. And you know what? He wants to extend mercy and take all of these terrible things that are in your future if you're not saved, and take all that away, and you don't have to worry about it anymore. And he wants to forgive you, and he wants to adopt you, and he wants to care for you, and he wants to grace you. But you know what? He's waiting on you. We're done. Look right up here. If you're not saved, I want you to picture God the Father. He's bought this incredible thing called eternal life, and the price he paid for it was the blood of his own son. And he's holding it out to you and saying, I love you. I want to save you. I want to grace you. I want to pour mercy upon you. I want you to walk through this life having the peace that passeth all understanding, knowing that no matter what you have to face, one of these days, there's a place called heaven. And he's waiting for you to take it. I'm going to say it again. Somebody can buy you a gift. Someone can sacrifice to buy that gift. They can pay a huge price for it. They can wrap it up. They can hold it out. But it does not become yours until you receive it. Here's the question. Have you ever received Jesus as your personal Savior? And if you haven't, you can do that this morning. I know what it is to walk into a church and hear preaching and be under conviction and think, I need to do that. I know what it is to walk a step out of my pew, walk down to the front and tell the preacher, I need to get saved. And you know what? I'm so glad someone took the Bible and showed me how I could know for sure I was going to heaven. And the greatest day of my life is when I decided I was going to put my faith, my trust in the fact that Jesus died for my sins. He was buried and rose again the third day. And he's offering me eternal life. And I said, Lord, I want to be saved. Amen. And I called upon Christ and he saved me. And you know what? Listen, watch this. Because of grace and because of mercy, all of a sudden, here comes peace. And it just floods my soul. Say, preacher, have you done everything right since then? No. But you know what? God hasn't changed his mind. And he still graces me. And he's still willing to forgive me. And I'm still his child. And you know what? That's a good deal. That's a great deal.